Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, this is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's once more my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting, scintillating, brilliant, and provocative characters who are once more going to play Just a Minute. We have two of our regular players, Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo, and we welcome two guests who've played the game with much success in the past, Sheila Hancock and Tim Rice. Will you please welcome all four of them? The inventor of the game, Inesita, sits beside me and keeps the score. He also blows his whistle when the full minute is up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our competitors if they will speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And who better? Kenneth, will you talk on the subject of fools? Starting now.
They are not to be suffered gladly, as has been pointed out by many, including Alexander Pope, who wrote, "Fly to altars, there they'll talk you dead. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." And how those lines reverberate in one's mind, because although, like so many quotations, they become over the years slightly altered from the original, fools still...
Tim Rice challenged.
I think deviation, he's talking about one of the most intelligent, witty writers of all time. He's not talking about fools.
He referred to Fools Rush In, which was the quotation, and I think he was still on the subject, which was derived from that quotation, so I think we must give
That's
him the benefit of the doubt. Nice to hear from you, Tim, but Kenneth gets a point for a correct and incorrect challenge, of course. He keeps the subject. There are 29 seconds left. Fools, starting now.
Churchill once said he was surrounded by fools.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Repetition of said. Pope said...
Yes, I'm afraid he said before, yes. A very sharp, harsh challenge, but an accurate one. So, Derek Nimmo's got in there with a correct challenge, a point to him, and the subject of fools, and 26 seconds left, starting now.
If one was talking about our chairman, one would probably say, there's no fool like an old fool.
You see, the Hancock's challenge.
I know I'll get this point, because you're criticising him. The thing on that we were given was fools, and he said fool.
Yes, but there are many fools, so he's just taken one of those.
Oh, well, I think it's deviation to be so rude to you, Nick.
Well, I think so as well, Sheila, but I'm afraid I can't. It's not one of the rules of the game, is it?
Can I even get a point?
Shall we put it to the audience whether you're a fool or not?
Sheila, thank you for standing up for me and lovely to hear from you, but I, in spite of what they say in this show, I still try to be fair, and I have to leave the subject with Derek Nimmo, and 20 seconds left, starting now.
He is tolerably foolish, because sometimes it has been said that when a girl says no, he's profoundly grateful. Because, you see, he is getting a trifle elderly, and he lives in a fool...
Sheila Hancock has challenged again.
Well, I think he's got off foolishness now, hasn't he? The fact that your old age and your... whatever your...
Yes, he's got right off the subject. He's on the subject of Parsons now, isn't he? Yes, I quite agree, Sheila. So I support you there, and you've got him with only 8 seconds to go, and the subject of fools starting now.
Well, only fools would play Just a Minute, really, because there are plenty of other things that you can do with your life. Kenneth, on the other hand, I have no...
And for those of you who may not be sure of the rules after 20 years, may I remind you that whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and it was Sheila Hancock who is in the lead at the end of that round.
I never understand the scoring in this game.
Well, you see, you've got 2 points, and Derek's got one, and Kenneth's got one, and Tim has yet to score, and he's going to begin the next round. And, Tim, the subject is jumpers. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I have been very fortunate in my career to have visited the wonderful country of Australia. Let me recall some of the states of that fantastic land, New South Wales.
Sheila Hancock, you have challenged. What is your challenge?
I think it's deviation, because he's not talking about jumpers.
I was just building up the scenario.
Tim, and sorry to interrupt you, in just a minute, you do have to establish in a minute your subject much more quickly
How long have I been going for, Mr.
You've Chairman? Been going for 9 seconds.
9 seconds? And you expect me to get to the thrust of my argument in 9 seconds?
Well, I think think you should have got to jump us before that.
Are you some sort of little Hitler?
I could see the way your mind was going. You were working up to kangaroos.
I was working up to kangaroos, indeed. Yes. You could see it, she couldn't. It's not my fault that she
did. Well, I could see you were working up to kangaroos.
Listen, I'm not going to have any more argument. Much of the audience enjoy it, but no, I don't think you worked up quick enough to kangaroos. Mind you, who wants to work up quickly to a kangaroo? But, Sheila, no, I agree with you. He hadn't got into the thrust of his argument quick enough. So there are 51 seconds for you to talk on jumpers, starting now.
I've got quite a lot of jumpers in my bottom drawer. Most of them are from Marks and Spencer's, and they're those sort that have long sleeves and a V-neck so that you can wear a shirt underneath it. On the other hand, I've also got some Aran sweaters, which are very nice. They're knitted mainly for sailors.
Derek Nimmer.
Hesitation.
Yes, right. I was giving you a text with the C's.
Yes,
sailors.
So
sailors.
We consider that difficulty with language and hesitation. So, Derek, you take over the subject of jumpers. There are 37 seconds left, starting now.
I suppose the most famous jumper will be Red Rum, who won the Grand National 72 the following year and again 3 years later.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, I thought it was hesitation.
It was hesitation, yes. Kenneth. So you have 28 seconds to tell us something about jumpers, starting now.
Well, of course, this was a show, you know. It went on in London. It was called Jumpers, and it had quite a success, I'm told. I unfortunately wasn't able to attend, because if I'm in an auditorium, people come up to me and say, would I sign things? One lady wanted me to actually write on her leg. And I...
Tim Rice was challenged.
Arrogance.
You're saying he's got away from the subject.
Deviation of the worst kind. I regret agreeing to be on this program.
He had deviated from jumpers onto people signing
on his
leg.
I want to hear about this lady signing on his leg. Was it your leg?
Well, we might hear about it later on.
Oh, right
now, I was harsh on Tim before, so I'm kind to him now. With 9 seconds, Tim, jumpers starting now.
Queensland, the Northern Territory, Tasmania.
Sheila Hancock.
Away from the kangaroos, isn't he?
A lot of kangaroos.
How do you know I'm talking about
Yes, but this time he only went on the states of Australia for three seconds. He might got onto his jumpers, his kangaroos a bit quicker.
Right.
It's still with Tim, with 6 seconds to go on jumpers starting now.
And then from out of the bush came this amazingly large animal. And I said, stone the crows, it's a kangaroo. And
so Tim Rice, who started with the subject, eventually got to his kangaroo at the end of the minute, because the whistle went, he gained that extra point, and he's in the lead with Sheila Hancock. Derek Nimmer, will you take the next round? Service. Will you tell us something on that subject in this game, starting now?
I suppose my favourite service within the Anglican Communion is Matins. It's very difficult to get...
Sheila Hancock is challenged.
Was that a kind of hesitation or a mummy?
No. It was one of his religious pauses.
It was a pause for thought, wasn't
it? What were you saying? I didn't understand what
communion.
Haven't you noticed when Derek talks in any religion, he gets that sort of ecumenical voice going? He didn't quite pause, Sheila. He has 55 seconds to continue on service starting now.
On Ash Wednesday, in a little church in Malacca, I managed to find one.
I think there's something under the BBC charter where all religions should be represented, and we're only getting one here.
He did deviate, but not in the way that you challenge. I'm sorry, Sheila.
No,
so he continues with 29 seconds left, starting now.
Salaam alaikum is one of the things you might hear in a Muslim service. And very nice it is to hear, because one likes to have all religions represented.
Sheila Hancock,
repetition of here. He said one thing you hear in a religious service and something you like. Not
absolutely
to hear.
Right. Well done. Well, you were listening very hard there, Sheila.
I did not.
21 seconds for Sheila on service, starting now.
Well, I throw a ball up into the air, and then I take my arm back, and if it hits the net, then somebody shouts out, let, and then I again do the same thing, and hopefully it lands in one side of the court. The other thing...
Tim Rice, the challenge.
Misuse of the word hopefully. The word hopefully is misused by nearly everybody in this country. It does not mean... I hope this will happen. It means it will happen, and I have hope. If you say, I'm going to Paris, or if you say, I'm hopefully going to Paris, doesn't mean I hope I'm going to Paris. It means I'm definitely going to Paris with hope in my heart.
Yes.
And Miss Hancock used the word hopefully.
Well, thank you, Professor.
Well, do you think she hit the ball with hope in her heart, or do you think she hit it hopefully, or she was being just colloquial? Very difficult. I mean, Ian, you're the inventor of the game. Colloquialisms in language are permitted?
Tim is right.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. I know he is. So, therefore, it's deviation of the language, and therefore he gains it. 5 seconds. Ian Messler was the arbiter on that situation. Service with you, Tim, starting now.
Boris Becker is one of the greatest tennis players of all time. Who would have thought that this young German lad, only 18...
Yes, Tim Rice once again managed to get in just before the whistle went, that trick which is so valuable if you want to try and win points. He's still in the lead, but he's alongside Sheila Hancock and Derek Nimmo, who gained many points with his service in that round. And Sheila Hancock takes the next round, bathing a baby. Oh. That is the subject, Sheila, I know you've experienced. Would you tell us something about that, or off the top of your head, starting now?
Well, as it so happens, there's two of the babies that I bathed sitting in the audience today. And the fact that one is rather bruised and bumpy means that she was my first child and therefore had rather a bad time because I didn't know how to handle it. And she kept slipping under the water. You are taught when you first have a baby at the nursing home how to hold them under the head, and you put your hand under their bums and lift them out and then soak them on a little thing on the bed. Then dunk them in to rinse it off. And sometimes you can use special liquid so that you don't have to use a tablet of the aforesaid cleaning of the...
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
Hesitation.
No, I think she kept going with great fluency.
Did she? Hey, all right. Yes,
I thought she was going so fast. I didn't see how she could keep that acceleration of delivery going without stumbling, but she achieved it for over 30 seconds, and there are 26 left for bathing a baby, Sheila, starting now.
But in Ellie Jane's case 21 years ago, my hands would shake, and I...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Repetition of hands.
Yes. Yes, you had put the hand under the head before, didn't you? That's right. So, Tim, you've got him with 21 seconds on bathing a baby, starting now.
The vital thing when bathing a baby is to get a really good quality soap. And I can recommend one particular brand, which has never, ever let me down in 34 years of experience in doing this article, Bathing a Baby. And I would like to say, in...
Conclusion. Sheila Hancock has challenged, yes.
Hesitation.
Hesitation is right, and you've got in, Sheila, with 1 second to go on bathing a baby, starting now.
Bathing a baby.
So our two guests are maintaining the lead. This time it is Sheila Hancock leading Tim Rice, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. And the subject is lines.
Some of the most marvellous lines are always in my head, especially that stuff from Hamlet. Speak this speech, I pray, as I pronounce it, you drippingly off the tongue, or do not mouth it to some of your players, do I would at least the town crier folk my lines. I find that absorbing and realise that that advice really is invaluable for a performer. Because he says, you see, to so strut and swagger would out Herod Herod.
So if you're going to quote accurately... what a pity. He tripped himself up there and Tim Rice came in. There are 30 seconds left for lines with you, Tim, starting now.
When I was at school, and it made me the man I am today, we used to have lines if you transgressed in any shape or form, but we didn't have to write out 422 times, I must be a good boy, or it is important not to write rude things on the blackboard. No, we had to write lines...
Derek Nimmo, child.
Repetition of write.
Yes, you write, have to write, write, yes. And right, he is right. And he has 13 seconds, Derek. Lines starting now.
If you're navigating an aeroplane in Australia, you follow what they call the Iron Compass, which is the railway line. And if you're going from Queensland to New South Wales...
Kenneth Williams challenged.
Yes, I thought there was a hesitation.
And you
there.
Thought correctly. 3 seconds on lines starting now.
Oh, I didn't realise I was supposed to speak, so I...
I would still have given it to you because you gave us a very good line there to finish and speak. As the whistle went, you gained an extra point and you are still in fourth place. But you are creeping up on Derek Nimmo, who's just been one behind Tim Rice, who's one behind Sheila Hancock, and Tim begins the next round. Tim, the subject is plagiarism. Would you tell us something about that subject starting now?
I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to have the opportunity to speak to you about this most important subject, plagiarism, because I and many other people like my good self have suffered at the hands of fiends, varlets, and vandals who have flagrantly nicked my lines over the years. It is quite appalling to pour sweat, blood, tears, and bones into something which means more to you than anything else in the whole wide world, and then to find some absolute...
Sheila Hancock, you challenged there, and you are correct. He did hesitate. So, 29 seconds for plagiarism.
What's the subject?
I'm just about to give it to you. Oh, plagiarism, or plagiarism, whichever way you'd like to pronounce it. I believe there are two pronunciations, starting now. Tim Rice has challenged.
Definite hesitation, then.
I think you're definitely right. And there are 27 seconds for you to take the subject back, Tim, starting now.
25 miles south of Stockholm, there is a beautiful little bay on the Baltic Sea where I wrote for many a moon with young Benny Anderson and youthful Bjorn Ulvaeus.
He's deviating from the subject. He's not talking about plagiarism.
I am. I'm talking about writing.
Are you a plagiarist?
No. I'm talking about my lifeblood, which is writing. And I was about to get into a very moving story of how I've had my stuff nicked.
I will be generous to you on this occasion because you were on that show in Sweden. You were absolutely carried away with that lovely Swedish lady you were with. So I will leave it with you. Another point to you, Tim. 16 seconds left, starting now.
This huge kangaroo came leaping out of the bush.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
It's back to the kangaroo again. Deviation.
Yes, so the kangaroo's got nothing to do with this subject. It's 13 seconds for you, Sheila, on plagiarism, starting now.
Well, we are told that it's...
Hesitation.
Derek Nimmo is right.
10
seconds for you, Derek, starting now.
The most flagrant example of plagiarism I've ever seen is a musical called Joseph and His Technicolor Dreamcoat, which was pinched from the Old Testament.
Tim Rice challenged you.
A deviation, you got the title wrong. And not any...
He might have been talking about another title.
Really
he was talking about one which was was copied from Nick's from your original.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess
Isn't
I withdraw
what you were on about?
Of course, yes.
That's as I understood it, yes. So Derek was cleverly having us all up the garden path there, and he keeps the subject 5 seconds left, starting now.
People say that things ain't what they used to be, from Mountain Greenery, which is a song sung by...
Well, Derek Nimmo got some points in that round, but he's any just a little way behind. He's still behind our two guests, who are still not equal, but in the lead. 1 point separates Sheila from Tim Rice. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject, fortune-telling. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Fortune-telling rather interests me. The first time I went to see one was I opened the garden, say, not very far away from here, and after they said, would I see the fortune-teller? She looked at my palms, read my cards, and said I was going to get an offer to work in a theatre in America. I went back to the place where I was working, and on my dressing place was a Western Union telegraph.
Kenneth Williams?
Well, a place, two places. No, yes. I went back to the place where I was working on my...
Absolutely. Business. Dead right, Ken.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well listened, Ken.
And Kenneth, fortune-telling. 41 seconds are left, starting now.
They say, cross my palm with silver, and you will cross water.
Oh. Tim Rice, came in first.
Yes. Couple of crosses.
You've got two crossed there, I'm afraid. And very rapidly, 34 seconds are left for fortune-telling with you, Tim, starting now.
I want you all to listen very carefully, because what I'm about to say is fascinating, and it's all about fortune-telling. I will not deviate for 1 minute. Firstly, there are many, many...
Derek, I think you're like... Yes, many, many. So there we are, 26 seconds. It is difficult, isn't it? 26 seconds on fortune-telling, starting now.
I remember once watching a friend of mine having his fortune told by a very old lady in a village outside a place called Maidenthorpe. And what happened was, she set up a table and she had a crystal ball upon it. And he was being told by an Indian chap to go and have his fortune-telling person to perform for. Well, when she sat down, she told him the most extraordinary things, and he was a barrister, a silk. His name was Gilbert Rodger.
Well, Derek has now overtaken Sheila, 1 point ahead, but he's still 1 point behind our leader, Tim Rice. Sheila Hancock, will you take the next subject? Dice. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it's curious that you should ask me to talk about dice, because...
Tim Rice is challenged.
Deviation is not curious at all. That's why she's here.
It's a good way of starting. Let's give Tim a bonus point for a nice
challenge. I was building up to a story. You have to lay the foundation before you lead to the point.
Sheila does get a point for being interrupted, and she keeps the subject. 57 seconds left for you, Sheila, on dice, starting now.
Because only recently I was trying to learn how to do macrobiotic cooking, and a lady came round and taught me that it is very important the way that you dice vegetable. You don't just chop them up like I normally do. A carrot has to be loved and diced downwards and with the grain of the carrot. And similarly...
challenge.
A brace of carrots.
The
carrot would feel very lovely if it was being cut down the middle.
What are you talking about, a brace of carrots? You would have a bunch. You can't have a brace of carrots. That's ridiculous. And there he was going on misuse of hopeful. When a person meant optimism, they were saying hopeful, which is correct. But now he goes and makes a bloomer. A brace of carrots. Have you heard of a brace of carrots?
Into the shops and say, yes, I'll have a brace of carrots and a triplet of parsnips and... Tim, it is a correct challenge, so we do give you the subject and 36 seconds for dice starting now.
People often use the word dice wrongly because dice in the singular is...
Sheila Hancock.
Deviation. He's being arrogant, isn't he?
Yes,
correct.
He is.
He's all the way along.
But he hasn't deviated from the subject of dice. He's being very pompous as well,
I
think.
I just wanted to get back at him.
But he's established himself as the Professor Rice on this show. The pomposity is allowed, and there are 30 seconds for him to continue on the subject of dice, starting now.
Speaking pompously, I would like to say that die is the one unit word for dice, and so many individuals get this incorrect. And it is vitally important when playing dice that one realizes the odds stacked in or against one's favour. There are but six numbers on any dice, viz. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the number which is gained by taking away 15.
Derek Nimmo did press his buzzer as the whistle went, but I think we give Tim the benefit of the doubt because he was struggling so manfully and did so extremely well on that subject, and he's now in a very positive lead. Kenneth, will you take the next subject? It is Sir Christopher Cockerell. Will you tell us something about that distinguished gentleman in just a minute, starting now?
In the official biography, it says he was a radio engineer, and he invented this amphibious craft, which is called a hopper, and I think it goes over the water by jet propulsion. Held air, do you see? The first successful crossing was the Dover Calais one in 1959. And for this incredible feat, after all, it was an invention that set the world agog. People looked at the thing and thought, how amazing that this cushion can actually...
Sheila Hancock, yes.
I think that's a bit of a deviation. I don't think the whole world was saying, how amazing that this thing... 9 times out of 10, it doesn't go, I'm here to tell you.
That's a phrase that you might use in describing the amazement
of the
world.
You don't think it's a bit excessive to say
no,
that the whole
I don't
world
think
was
so.
A
not,
gog.
Not for such an original invention as the hovercraft. So we give Kenneth the benefit of the doubt.
Very good, Chairman.
Wait till I give one against him. 19 seconds left with you, Kenneth, on Sir Christopher Cockerell, starting now.
And the Queen invited him to the palace, known as Buckingham, and said, kneel, and dubbed him knight. And when he rose and came outside that grand edifice, his relatives with him all...
So Kenneth Williams started with the subject and in spite of interruptions kept going with that subject until the 60 seconds was up, gained that extra point for speaking at that particular moment, and it's our guest Tim Rice who will take the last round, which is doggerel. So after all the pompous things you said about speech, tell us something about doggerel now, Professor Rice, starting now.
Well, doggerel is like common speech, which is the sort of thing that people what ain't pompous talk about. And I'm...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Doggerel is not like common speech. It's written since Facsimile Smith, one of my most distinguished poets, wrote doggerel, and it has nothing to do with common speech. It's everything to do with rhyming.
Quite right. I'm
yes,
totally
you're quite
wrong.
Right. Yes. It's not... it can be perfectly good speech, but it is doggerel.
I apologise.
It's not just necessarily common. So Kenneth, with his erudition, has claimed a point there and has 54 seconds to tell us something about doggerel starting now.
When my hat was in my hand, I met a fellow in the Strand. Now, that was written by Dr. Johnson. It is an example of his doggerel. And very charming it is. I think, you know, we could do with a lot more of it because it gives a rhythm and a kind of excellence and a piquancy to speech itself. And I think enriches experience linguistically. I love it when I hear these little limericks. All of them really just doggerel, aren't they? Stuff about...
Oh, sorry. No, I... Just...
Well, you fresh your mother now. You better give a challenge.
Well, no, I was going to say he said doggerel before, but you're allowed to do that.
You're allowed to do... Yes, you're allowed to say... I know you haven't played it for a long time, Sheila.
I know.
Allowed to say the subject on the card. Because if you do press your buzzer and stop the person who's speaking, then they, of course, get a point for an interruption, and they continue. 21 seconds are left. Kenneth, starting now.
There was the other fellow called Clyde, who once at a funeral was spied. When asked who was dead, he smilingly said, "I don't know, I just come for the ride." That is an example, you see, of charming doggerel. And what does it arouse? A little smile, perhaps a laugh, and so enlightens and amuses at the same time. It is all the great...
Well, once Kenneth Williams got hold of the subject of doggerel... Once he got hold of the subject of doggerel, there was no stopping him, and he surged forth, gained many points in that round. He surged so far forward, he finished up equal in second place with Derek Nimmo and Sheila Hancock, but they were a few points behind this week's winner, Tim Rice. So our guest, Tim, came again to triumph. And on behalf of Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Sheila Hancock and Tim Rice, the inventor of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll want to tune in again when we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.